Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, it's almost here. Come on, Friday. Come on, long weekend. Come on, Stanley Cup qualifiers. Ah, it's going to be awesome. Kelly Kirsch along with you. We are busy today, Eric Francis. Friday's coming up at 25 after 12 or so. But first, let's start the show off with Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Peter, we're getting closer and closer. When the games are going to count, my friend, and that is tomorrow. And maybe just get your feeling. I mean, here we are, August long weekend, which usually around this station is kick back your feet and put some Jays games on and see who's working the next week. But we're going to be busy. And I'm kind of excited the way it's all going to just ramp up all at once.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And Kelly, in my world, the first part of August in a lot of years has been being in Calgary to watch Canada's best juniors or best under 18 athletes. Or I've gone to the World Junior Summer Showcase in the first week in August. So being back around hockey is not something that I'm not used to at this time of year. A matter of fact, I can't wait for those things too. So I'm really excited, as I've shared with our listeners many times over the last few weeks. I wouldn't say that I'm more excited for these playoffs than any playoff, but I'm more fascinated. And right at the top of my list is to watch the team that I've been watching closely, following, think about, analyze, and that's the Calgary Flames. Because, Kelly, I think this is a really, really important chapter of the Flames and how to look at it and how to assess and how to go forward. So as excited as I am, and you know me, you've known me for a long time, if I had my way, I'll tell you where exactly I would be tomorrow. I would be in a little nook and cranny in Edmonton, Alberta, where nobody could find me, basically, where I could get a little food and leave me in that hockey rink until it's all said and done. That would be my wish. But I don't get to have my wish like everybody else. So I'm just going to enjoy it, analyze it, have fun with it. And in the case of the Calgary Flames, I can't wait to see how it's going to play out.
We are going to have coverage starting basically at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll have a special show for you of Hockey Central. Then we'll have the Oilers and Blackhawks game at 1 o'clock. And then the pregame just gets going as soon as that game's over, right into our Flames warm-up show. So 8:30 puck drop tomorrow night. It's the Flames and Winnipeg Jets, the best of five. And we dug in a little bit with the Jets yesterday, talked about a bunch of different things. But today we're going to do the old kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. You're going to give Lou's simple, easy-to-understand breakdown of the game. So here we go. This is perfect for sports radio.
And I need your help to do it. So here's where we go. When most people assess the playoffs, we start with the best players. So let's begin. People like to call it top line against top line. I'm not always the person to go there, but let's compare Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm against Mark Scheifele, Kyle Connor, and Blake Wheeler. So, Kelly, I get to ask you today. Okay. And my first question for you is, going into this playoff series, which group going in do you trust the most?
Of the two top lines,
those two lines I talked about.
I'm going to go with history, and I'm going to trust Winnipeg more so.
Because of where they've been and what they've done, correct?
Yes. Yeah, history, yeah.
History. So I have a tendency to buy very much into experience and history. However, if the Calgary Flames are to advance in this series, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan, and Elias Lindholm, remember that this is only the second National Hockey League playoff appearance for Elias Lindholm, but they are going to have to do different. So most people would probably assess, including both of us, that at this point, you probably have a better feel for one group than the other. However, the caveat to that is we have seen more than a handful of times when that line is at its best that they can have major impact on hockey games. History will also tell us that one of the reasons the Calgary Flames were not successful against the Colorado Avalanche last spring was because that group was not as good as they needed to be. But here's the part I'm going to add. Kelly, if I go into any kind of battle, and I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do, and I know that I'm in a really close fight, and I didn't win the last time, I have to do different. And I truly believe, in the case of Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm, and frankly, it even happened in the exhibition game the other night. They were on the second shift of the game. They spent 20 seconds of their shift inside Edmonton territory. And then they made a coverage mistake. And do you know where the puck ended up?
Yep.
In the back of their net. So if I am Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Elias Lindholm, as much as I need to be focused in my mindset, always is driven to think, to be fed through narratives, through all the outside noise about how I have to score. Yes, I have to score. I have to win my matchup, or at the very least, if I find myself and my line up against that line, what can't happen? I can't lose.
Yeah. If it's a tie, I think you'll take that. If you can neutralize them and nobody scores, top line versus top line, then it's advantage Calgary, is it not?
It is. However, guess what? I'm not sure that's going to be the desired matchup for either group. So if that means that line goes up against Adam Lowry's line a lot or the Cody Eakin line a lot, then, Kelly, guess what? That's not good enough probably just to be even.
Yeah.
Now you certainly can't be minus. And the more that that group can dictate as a line and with the help of the rest of the group to their opponent, then guess who gets to dictate the matchups?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Yep.
And they do. But they have not shown us yet. And it's a big time. And I would put even Elias Lindholm in a different category. This is playoff chance number 4 for Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. And they do not. I repeat, they don't need to feel the weight of this. This is a team sport. But like their teammates, I think their mindset, they cannot become frustrated when they can't do it their way. They've got to be able to adjust. Last year, when the Colorado Avalanche's best players threw down the gauntlet, they and the rest of the team didn't adjust.
Okay. Now, if that means the Flames' top line isn't going to go against the Jets' top line, that means the Backlund line is going to go against the Jets' top line. And that's very key. Michael Backlund is going to be very important in this series.
Michael Backlund is going to be incredibly important, and so is that line. And to me, Matthew Tkachuk is someone I'm really going to observe and analyze. I truly believe he has what it takes. He is from the show me state of Missouri. And it's time for him and the rest of the group to take another step. It doesn't have to be perfection, but it has to be progress. But the guy in the middle is Michael Backlund. He's 31 years old. He has captained Sweden to a world championship. He has played in world junior finals, two of them. He's played in other key situations. He's played 20 National Hockey League playoff games. And Kelly, sorry to repeat it, and it won't be the last time. My line about Michael Backlund is this. When Michael Backlund is a plus player, meaning when his two-way game, not just his defensive game, and that line's defensive game is at a high level, the Calgary Flames don't lose a lot. And all the numbers will tell you. Last year in the playoffs, Michael Backlund was minus -5. And that, again, that's not all on him. So let me make that abundantly clear. But this is a 31-year-old who's been through it. And Michael has had quite a journey as a member of the Calgary Flames. I believe that your legacy as a player in business, in any situation, is now, when it's hard, when the competition is great. And that means you're going to have some wins and you're going to have some losses. So yesterday in the availability, I flat out asked Michael, how is he going about his business differently in preparation for this playoff round to allow him to be the player that I saw down the stretch play some of the best hockey I've ever seen him play in the NHL when he had 28 points in his last 28 games? Here's his answer.
Yeah, just like I said earlier, like, for example, I find, you know, if I watch too much hockey, I kind of get a little bored and sick of it. And I want to kind of keep myself fresh and when we start playing. So that's like when I was younger, I would watch so much hockey and all the playoff games and World Juniors, World Championships. So it's kind of last night when my room is dead and just watch them all the stuff. So I think big key in tournaments like this is you got to find a way to really rest and relax between the games. And every guy's different, but for me, that's a big key for me to really focus on that, to just kind of in between the games, like I said, just take it easy and do other things. Just keep your mind fresh and your body, of course.
So there's Michael Backlund, and obviously his life has changed over the last little bit. I think he's got life in a little bit better perspective now. He's a little older. He's past that magic age of 30. He's a father. He's got this, and he's been through this war before. I think that's kind of a refreshing answer that we heard yesterday.
And it's a very refreshing answer, and it also talks about that Michael Backlund has gone through a lot. And Michael Backlund has fought through, I think, lots of tough times where he has questioned his own ability. And he, like many others, would not have been pleased with how last spring went against the Colorado Avalanche. Michael Backlund is well aware of how important he and his line mates and the type of responsibility that will lie in front of them, starting with him in this series. When he is a really good player for this team, Kelly, again, they're hard to beat. And so they will see, especially I think when Calgary has last change, although it's interesting because I don't look at either one of these two coaches as being hard matchup people. And every coach goes into every night with a plan, but the plan changes based on how well your players both individually and collectively are playing. But that group is really, really important because if they can not only hold serve, but be on the right side and change the way Paul Maurice does business, that's what it's all about, Kelly. When you watch each and every game, both those guys know exactly what they want to see happen tomorrow. the fact of the matter is that's not exactly how the script's going to play out. And that's why players win games and win championships, and coaches are there to support people and put them in the best chances and opportunities to be successful. Because these games, whether people know it or not, like football in many ways, they are scripted out. Bump-up shifts, penalty kills, power play, what you're going to do, they think it to that kind of a level. But it's the players who give coaches an opportunity to dictate the way the game is going to be played. And the Flames' top forwards last year did not do the dictating. They were dictated to. But it wasn't to me as much about how they performed with it. It was way more about how they performed when they didn't have it.
Peter Barnes is our guest. We're getting ready for the Flames and the Winnipeg Jets. The best of five will start tomorrow night. We'll have coverage all day long. Some extra, I think we have 7 hockey games on this weekend. It's going to be awesome. And we kind of teased it yesterday, so let's get into it. We wanted to kind of compare and contrast the Flames and the Jets defense, Lou.
So would you agree that on paper that this looks like a potential major advantage for the Flames?
I do.
So let's look at the Jets defense in comparison. So their top pairing is Josh Morrissey, who I think is an outstanding player. And he has lots of big game experience. 2 World Under 18s, 2 World Juniors, a Memorial Cup with Kelowna, World Championships, playoff experience that led, and he helped lead the Jets to the 3rd round a couple years ago. This 25-year-old from Calgary has been there and done that. Now, his supporting cast is not what it used to be. The Jets have lost 4 key people from last spring's 6-game playoff loss. All 4 losses, by the way, in the first round series to St. Louis came by way of 1 goal. So there's no Myers. There's no Byfuglien, who was the star of that series for the Jets, with 8 points plus 5 and played nearly 26 minutes a game. There is no Jacob Trouba, and there's no Ben Chiarot or Tyler Myers. So they have had a complete overhaul. But beware to undervalue. Neil Pionk is a better power play quarterback than people give him credit for, and he had 45 points to show it. Dylan DeMello is not a household name who's going to play to start the series with Josh Morrissey. But where has Dylan DeMello spent a lot of time in his NHL career? San Jose. So you know what he's been exposed to, Kelly?
Winning.
Playoff runs. And people who know how to do it really well. And if he's been watching, he's had an opportunity to go to school from some of the league's best people at the most important time of year. They have young Tucker Poolman, who, you know, I think in some ways, you know, is a number 6. But he's getting better all the time. So for the and then you have Dmitry Kulikov. And again, that name's not going to blow anybody over, and nor should it. Now, the Calgary Flames, with their pairings, I think should have an edge. But you know what? The Calgary Flames should have had a big edge against the Colorado Avalanche on defense last year, too. But, Kelly, did they?
They did not.
And let's understand this. So everybody breaks it down player by player and who has the edge. This is a team sport. Let's not forget it. Let's not forget that it is a team sport. And you play offense in groups of 5 and you defend in groups of 5. And to a man, when the Jets look back at their series loss to the eventual Stanley Cup champion Blues, you know what they've talked about? And they were a far better team on paper with high expectations based on what had happened the spring before. They thought that the Blues' experience and the Blues' ability 1 through 18 in their lineup, and of course Jordan Binnington in goal, stayed with it longer over the key stretches of the game. Shots on goal in that series between Winnipeg and St. Louis, 184 to 173. Jordan Binnington actually had a 908 save percentage to Connor Hellebuck's 913. Here's another number that will surprise you about that series. As a group of skaters, the Blues were minus 10 and the Jets were plus 10. So take all those numbers in consideration. The Blues' special teams were better. That factored in. And guess which goalie made more key saves at key times?
That's when you need them, right?
Binnington. And as a group, they stayed with it longer. So when I think about the Calgary Flames, here's what comes to mind as we come to an end today, and it's why I can't wait. They have had well over a year to chew, stew, be bitter, and think about all the lessons and all that went wrong against the Colorado Avalanche. You know what's awesome? They get a chance, finally, to go out and show that they've learned those lessons and they're prepared to do different and they can do better against a team that I think provides a lot of similar type challenges in the Jets with their high-end people, including a higher-end goalie. And the last thing for me on this, so we talked about McKinnon. We talked about their best guys being way better than Calgary's best guys, and they were. But here's a stat, Kelly, because I know you like some numbers along with the analysis.
Yep.
The Calgary Flames gave up 41 shots a game in that playoff series. Mike Smith was the best player for the Calgary Flames. When was the last time you watched a series where a team's best player in the playoffs was their goalie and they were still dominated and lost in five?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very much, and 40 shots a game, no chance that's going to work.
No. So here's what I love. The general manager, this coaching staff, all the players, they've been through a lot. They have. They've been through a lot. They don't have a lot of playoff experience, but in their head coach, they have somebody that knows how to do it and knows what it's like to win. They have a general manager that, trust me, is his team first a human to support other people as well as anybody in hockey I've ever seen. They have Milan Lucic, who's won a Stanley Cup and has played in 114 Stanley Cup playoff games. We get better in this world if we learn from those who have been there and done that, but still hold ourselves accountable and understand that it's not going to be perfect, but we need to do better. And I can't wait to see if the Calgary Flames are ready to do better, because I think there's a pretty good chance, based on everything, that they've been put in the position to do it. Now it's up to the players to execute and make good.
Going to be fun. Start Saturday. A little programming note here. We will have Hockey Central on Monday. It'll be me and Lou and Logan. It'll be at 10 o'clock in the morning, though, because obviously the Flames game is going to be early that day. So we'll have a 10 o'clock show for everybody and a little longer getting into Flames warm-up. So that's the plan for Monday. We'll know what we'll have a game under our belt by then. We'll have a bit of a lay of the land for game two. This is going to be fun. Lou, I know where you're going to be come Saturday. And
you too.
Right? And we're getting excited for it. So enjoy your Friday, and we will see you here on Saturday. Thanks so much.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
It is Hockey Central at noon. I'm Kelly Kirsch. We are busy here today. Coming up at 1 o'clock, it's the arrival of Peter Klein, and Pinder and Steinberg goes right till 6 o'clock as we've the Jays had their season, or their series against the Philadelphia Phillies postponed. So they won't be playing at all this weekend. So we decided, hey, let's add some more hockey. So that's what we did. Coming up on Sunday, we're going to have the Jays-Phillies game. But no, we're going to have Nashville and Arizona. Check out our website for the details on all the action that we have. Nothing tonight, but then tomorrow we go crazy for the next 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8 days or so. Awesome. Just the way we like it. Still your chance to participate and have some fun with an insider conversation on the old Zoom. Get your computer going as we're going to do this virtually. Ryan Pinder with Ben Wagner and Mike Wilner of Blue Jays Radio. We're going to do this in August. Looking forward to it. Here's the story. We also have an awesome partner on with us. We've got a great prize pack from our partners at Wild Rose Brewery. So make sure we'll give it away. I think we got one today. Maybe today or maybe on Monday. Looking forward to it. And you can also enter online if you want. So you can just do it that way. Sportsnet.ca/960. Got to be a Blue Jays fan, though, okay? We'll do that August the 10th. We'll pick the web winners then. Wild Rose Brewery has been fueling hardworking Albertans since 1996. Find their premium craft beers around Alberta and at their tap room and restaurant located in Currie Barracks. Today is Friday. That means it's Eric Francis Fridays. We'll go find out what Eric's been finding out himself at the Hub up in Edmonton on the eve of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That is coming up next. Francis right here on Hockey Central at noon.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch making way for Peter Klein. Pinder and Steinberg goes 1 till 6 tonight right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And then tomorrow we get after it. Hockey, hockey, hockey all long weekend for you. Time for Eric Francis Fridays. We do this at this time on Fridays. Brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination. Own one, you'll understand. Hyatt Infinity on Luxury Lane, empower the drive. Eric, where are you exactly? Describe where you are at this moment in time.
I thought I would meander my way up to Edmonton and stop at Sylvan Lake. I have a cottage at Sylvan, so I'm here right now prepping for the playoffs with a margarita. Anyway, the details are not that important. You ask where I am, I'm in Sylvan Lake. I'm halfway to Edmonton.
You're close. You're within striking distance. And there was times I think most people weren't sure if we were going to get here, but we are. The bubbles are in. They're going. They've played their exhibition games, and now we play for real. And for Flames fans, there seems to be a lot of angst and a lot of hand-wringing and that sort of thing. I don't think there's a lot of confidence with Flames Nation when it comes for the Flames to beat the Winnipeg Jets, but that's why they play the games, Eric.
I'm glad you said that, because that's the sense I've certainly been getting. The way I kind of always, like when I ask anybody, I ask friends of mine, Flames fans, a casual fan, diehard, do you think they're going to beat Winnipeg? And they always wince right away. Everybody winces. Ooh, like like as if they got punched in the shoulder. Oh, God, that's going to hurt. This is going to hurt. This series is not going to go well. And I think it's a combination of a ton of things. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kel. I think it's the history of this team. You know, just they have a terrible history of playoffs, especially since they won the Cup or since 2004. Pick an era. They've been crappy. They've won one of their last 11 playoff games. They're playing against a team that was in the conference final 2 years ago and damn near beat St. Louis last year in 6 games, the defending champions. You know, the goaltender is scary for the Jets. You know, the Flames just were uninspiring this season. There's a lot of reasons why I think people just kind of wince and say, oh, boy. Well, you never know. Now, we all know the old cliche that anything can happen, especially in this playoff. And so making any sort of prediction, I think, is really tough this year more than any other year. But I'm glad you're reading it the same way I am. And you guys, with the fan feedback line, you must see it a lot. Yeah. Even diehards are tempering their optimism because they know that this is going to be really tough. And they really, I think overall the big thing is, people just don't think this team is built for the playoffs. Am I off base there?
No, I think you're right. I think they worry about the top line and Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, and the stats, you know, are frightening when you look at how they've performed. And you talked about the Flames winning, you know, essentially, you know, one playoff game in what were they, 1-10 or something like that in their last 11?
Yeah, 1-11.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that's you don't win a lot of playoff series at all. That's not you can't make history doing that. I also think, too, I think people, it's so different this year, right? You don't, you know, you got home ice advantage, which means nearly zero. You don't have the crowd. Could you imagine how jacked an 8:30 crowd would be if somehow they were playing this game at the Saddle Dome? It would be lights out crazy. And then back in Winnipeg. So you don't have that. So I think that's part of it as well. And I don't think anybody got a lot of confidence watching either goalie in the one exhibition game, which isn't fair. But it's tough for goalies to turn it on from 0 to 100, and they're both going to have to do that. Connor Hellebuck has, you know, he looked good in his exhibition game for whatever that's worth. But that's where people are at, and I think, you know, the top line matchup scares people a little bit. And not that it's going to be matched up, but if you just compare the two. And the other one is when you compare goalies. And if you want, compare power plays, which were pretty even. And if you talk about coaching staffs and head coaches, Paul Maurice wins out because he's got the experience, right?
The list goes on. You know, you're bringing up things that I hadn't thought of recently either in terms of why everyone's so kind of down on the Flames. What about this, though? I'm gonna play devil's advocate and try to be optimistic here for a second. And I look at it objectively. I'm not a Flames fan. I just cover the team. I'm a hockey fan. I want good things for my city. It'd be great if they went on some sort of run or even got into the first round. But what about the idea that, you know what, this is still a young team. I was looking at the ages, the average age, which I always think is a really odd stat, but the Flames and the Jets are right in the middle. Their average age is 26. They're right in the middle of all the playoff teams. What about the idea that this is still a young team and you've got to learn? Usually everyone says you got to lose before you learn how to win. The Oilers did it in the 80s. They had to lose once in the final to realize what it took to win it, all that stuff. You know, there is the maybe we're not giving them enough credit for doing what they've done as a young team. And then, you know, this is the year when they have to finally do it, though, right? I mean, you can't go 3 years in a row with your core intact, a very talented team, and not finally get over that hump this year. You know, is there any merit to the argument that they're still a young team and they're just trying to learn? You know, this is part of the process?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think there's a lot of teams in that same sort of set of area. And, you know, you have to, when you have an opportunity, you have to take the advantage of it. You can't say, oh, maybe next year we'll do it. I know I've said it from the beginning. I don't think this is, if they bow out to the Jets in this qualifier, I think under the circumstances of where things have been and how this league is, if I'm any team, I'm not making, you know, emotional, gut-wrenching decisions to blow teams up after a qualifying, you know, round that was in a hub in August. I just don't know if that gives you the, and what do you do? Like, okay, so what does that mean, blow the team up? And how do you make it better for when you hit the ice again? If there's a way to do that, then okay. But I don't know. I don't think this is really the time to make huge decisions. And on the other side too, like I don't think you know if you win a round, and you kind of have a bit of a story. I don't know if that's a fair assessment either. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's if Eric, if you're you know the GM and they've got lots of decisions. They got lots of guys that are coming up for contract renewals. They got lots of staff the same way. So, I mean, the decisions are always going for an NHL team, but I don't know if this is a true test.
Yeah, you have to take everything with a grain of salt. I think that when the season started, I know I certainly looked at it and basically kind of like the Stampeders always used to be. Yeah, they're going to get into the playoffs. Yeah, they're going to finish somewhere in the top eight. In the Stampeders case, yeah, they're going to go 15-3. But until you win in the playoffs, I'm not a believer. Well, they got over that hump with the Stamps in a couple different eras that I've been around for. And now the Flames, it's different because they only had that 1 year, the Flames, where they dominated 2 years ago, and then they did a face plant against Colorado, who was surging. I went into this season saying, yeah, obviously they're going to make the playoffs. No one thinks they're going to finish first in the conference again, but they'll be challenging somewhere in the top three or four maybe. Anyway, it was all going to be about, so what do you do with it? Whether you're a top four or top six team, what do you do with it when it matters most? And so here we are. We're at that point now. Mm-hmm. But it's the distance between from that beginning of the season to where we are now that's just so bizarre and so hard to really put a whole lot of stock now in putting all your eggs in this playoff basket. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's still the question I get asked is, what's at stake here? And that's a hard one for me to answer. My short answer is, what's at stake? Well, I'd say Johnny Gaudreau. Because if he has another bad playoff, he's gone. I can't see any scenario under which you can sell to a fan base keeping him around any, much longer if he does not show up in these playoffs again. But again,
he might be gone if he has a good playoff too, Eric, though.
He might be. And when I say he's gone, it's not just, oh, you're not getting it done when it matters most. We need to punish you and get you out of here. It all has to do with his contract, right? He's got 2 years left on his deal. We can't have happen what happened to Jerome Iginla, where we got the city got nothing for him in return because the team waited too long. You've got to get something for him. He's not re-signing here. So the earlier you sell him, the more you're going to get, theoretically. And if he has another bad playoff now, some would say it's a down market if he doesn't have a good playoff. I don't agree at all.
Yeah.
I think teams in the East would love to get their hands on him.
You'll find somebody. That's just the way it is. Like, all these teams have worked so hard, but there's, you know, there's going to be, you know, right away, you know, they're going to get down to, you know, eight teams pretty quick here. And there'll be teams that are just like, what happened in August to us? And, you know, now where are we? Like, that's going to be the interesting part. And obviously, after this qualifying round, who gets that first round pick? There's so many storylines for the NHL, like there always is. It is Eric Francis Fridays right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Thought we'd wrap up the segment today and just do a little rapid fire. I don't want you to, I just want gut reaction. So I'm going to say the series, and you are going to say the winner. And I'm going to keep track, and when you're wrong, I'm going to do it on a future show, and it's going to be great. So are you ready?
Okay, cool.
Okay. Carolina, New York Rangers.
Rangers.
All right. Toronto, Columbus.
Toronto.
All right. Montreal, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
All right. Islanders, Florida.
Islanders. That'll be the easiest series of all of them.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put a little star behind that one because you're a little emphatic Florida's about that.
Terrible.
One.
Yeah.
Arizona, yeah. Nashville.
Oh, Nashville. Okay, that'll be the easiest one. Sorry, I got to change my attack.
Okay. Chicago, Edmonton.
Edmonton.
You're just going out on a limb here, eh?
No.
All right, Minnesota, Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Okay. And finally, Calgary, Winnipeg, and how many games?
Oh, God.
You knew I was going to leave that one to the end.
Well, this is where it's, I hate these. Okay, so
just say
online,
it, it's okay.
Well, online I went Flames in five, but as I thought about it more over the last week, I think Jets in four. So I'm hedging my bets all over the place. So I'm going to go Jets in four.
Okay.
Somewhere I'll be right. Somewhere I'll be
wrong. I wrote it down on my foolscap and just did it just like that. So it's going to be fun, Eric. This is going to be really cool. You're going to help us out on Monday. We're going to have a ton of coverage. Obviously tomorrow, and then, and you know, it's hockey season. It's August. It's the long weekend. You know, that's just, this is where we are in 2020. Everything's upside down, and I think we just have to go with it, right?
Absolutely. I am now finally at the point where I'm excited about tomorrow.
Okay.
It's you know, like we're one sleep away from a little bit more normalcy in our lives, and we're all craving that. It won't be normal by any stretch of the imagination.
A little bit.
Step towards it, right? Yeah, there's some drama. Yeah. You're watching finally something on TV that you don't, you know, nobody can give you the answer to or the ending to and ruin it for you.
Well, I was telling Boomer before we got ready for the exhibition game, I went for a little snack kind of downtown here, and you know, you order your food and stuff, and on the one TV, it wasn't like Robbie Alomar and Ernie Witt and Joe Carter. It was actually a Blue Jays game that was actually happening. And then it wasn't like Doug Gilmore and Kirk Muller. It was actually the Leafs and Montreal Canadiens, like an actual, like it didn't know the ending of it. Like, okay, there we go. Things are starting to feel a little bit more normal. What are you writing on? Like, I know you're going to be doing all kinds of stuff and you're going to churn out all kinds of content, but what, for .ca, what's your first sort of kick at the can, preview wise, or when do we see your stuff?
You know, I'm going to have a column first thing in the morning tomorrow, just kind of basically talking about why, you know, kind of what we discussed earlier, why everyone's so down on the Flames and why there's very little optimism in our own city. That's very rare, Kelly, don't you think? I mean, usually the diehards, they're blindly following their team and blindly cheering for them. And there are still those, but I haven't run into any of them. You know, people who are looking at this rationally are realizing that there are a lot of pitfalls in the way. There's a lot of bad history and there are a lot of bad trends going on. And so I'm just kind of summing all that up. And I don't want it to be a depressing column for Flames fans. I just want to set it up and let people know why. But if they can turn this around, it could really be so momentous for this franchise. It's a really, really important time for this franchise because depending on how they do, will have a large impact on how they proceed in the off season, whenever the hell that is, somewhere in November.
Yeah.
October, okay. November.
We'll read you on sportsnet.ca. We'll listen to you coming up on Monday on the Eric Francis Show. Thanks for joining us on Eric Francis Fridays. Enjoy your little time at Sylvan Lake, and we'll see what happens tomorrow as we get into the Stanley Cup qualifiers. Thanks, Eric.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the hockey.
There we go. Eric Francis Fridays brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, Calgary's original Infinity destination. Own one, you'll understand. Hyatt Infinity on Luxury Lane. Empower the drive. Coming up at 1 o'clock, it's Peter Klein. Steinberg in at 2 o'clock. The guys will go right till 6, Tim and Sid after 6. And then the weekend, I suggest if you're driving around, if you're camping, if you're doing stuff with the family, you got to keep us around because we're going to have lots and lots of hockey and suddenly zero baseball, which wasn't the plan originally, but that's how things go. But I think people are getting excited. There's a bit of a feeling going on about that. So looking forward to that. And by the way, you have till 10 a.m. tomorrow to get in and get your boxes all checked for our playoff hockey pool with Sportsnet 960, The Fan, and of course our great partners at Iconic Electric and Controls, promoting a culture of quality since 2008 and proudly owned and operated from Western Canada. Check them out online, iconicec.ca. And we've got cool prizes too. We've got gift cards from Backyard Meats and a grand prize of a $300 gift card from Backyard Meats and your very own smoker from Paradise Bay. Hey? So that will be awarded sometime in October, obviously, but you got to get in before 10 o'clock. So if you're a procrastinator, don't be for too much longer. And just go to the website, sportsnet.ca/960. Go to contest, look the sheet up so you get the password and everything. Load it all up and get ready to have some fun. But we're going to cut it off at 10 o'clock. Obviously, that's the first game tomorrow. Take a break and hear from Elliot Friedman. He was on with the guys earlier. Always great when Freeds joins the morning show, especially on a Friday before the Stanley Cup is playoffs are back. We'll hear that next on Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Making way for Peter Klein in Hour 1 of Pinder and Steinberg, and a busy show and lots of hockey as we get ready for the Stanley Cup playoffs. The qualifiers begin tomorrow. We're all over it right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. On Fridays, always great to have Elliot Friedman on from Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. The first thing that Boom asked him was like, what's the deal with that Winnipeg goalie?
Hellebuck looked really good against Vancouver. Like, he was dialed in, and if Tkachuk or your guys don't get in his grill, you're gonna be in trouble. You cannot let him look as calm and composed as he did against Vancouver. And maybe it's an exhibition game, so you're not going to try to drive the goalie crazy or stuff like that. But a guy like Tkachuk the other night against Edmonton, like, you could tell he was driving them crazy. Koskinen took that one shot at him. You guys are going to have to get Hellebuck off his game, because the guy I saw the other night against Vancouver was the guy who was fifth on my Hart Trophy ballot this year.
Yeah, we were already talking this week. We were getting all the cliches out. We need traffic. He'll stop what he can see, make life difficult, get it, all of that sort of thing, because I'm with you.
I think it's even more than that.
Yeah.
You know, Hellebuck has a rep, Dino, and that is that, you know, you can make him mad and you can get him off his game. And that was one of the biggest steps he took this year, was just learning that you have to control your emotions. And you guys have to challenge that. You have to see, as the games get more important, does he revert to that old negative habit that, you know, kind of got in the way of making him the best goalie he can be? And I think that's going to be critical for Calgary in the series.
I'll start here before we leave the Jets and Flames, I guess, specifically. If you had a 20 in your wallet and you had to pick Riddick or Talbot for game one starter, where are you putting that 20?
Oh, boy. I think I'm going with Talbot.
I am too.
Now, I might. Now, I'll tell you this. Like, you're talking about, now, there's always a difference between what I think and what I think someone else is going to do, right? And I'm thinking that, you know, for the future of the team, I'd give Riddick the games. You know, he there's more of a chance he's your future than Talbot is,
mm-hmm.
and I'd want to put him in that environment as much as I can. However, you're asking me what I think a coach would think. And I think if you're a coach and you've got to win this series, right, you're probably going to the guy, unless one guy grabs the net, which nobody did the other night, you're probably going with the guy who's probably a bit more stable. And Talbot is more stable, I think, than Riddick. He's got a longer resume. You know what he is. Riddick, and one of the reasons we all love him is he's so unpredictable. I don't have any. You joke with me in text, like, you're supposed to be an insider. I don't have any insider knowledge on this one. Just my instinct is, my guess is they go with Talbot because he's more predictable.
That was Elliot Friedman earlier today on Boomer in the Morning. That full interview is up on our website, sportsnet.ca/960. Just one more day until the Stanley Cup qualifiers begin. Tomorrow, we will have wall-to-wall coverage of opening day of those Stanley Cup qualifiers starting at 10 a.m. with Hockey Central, leading you into the Oilers and the Blackhawks at 1 before the Flames coverage begins at 4. Again, it's Flames and Jets at 8:30 tomorrow night. And then on Sunday, got the Arizona Coyotes and the Nashville Predators at noon. Got the Jackets and the Leafs, and then the Minnesota Wild and the Vancouver Canucks. Peter Klein is up next right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.